Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church welcoming you to another Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is good to be here today, and we do appreciate the opportunity to do that very thing. My son, Noah Greer, is here with me in the studio this morning producing, and I want to say good morning to him. We've been going in separate directions today. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
Good.
Good. We want to say welcome to all our listeners and how much we appreciate them. Those listening in today on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we're thankful that when we go out in the community and around in different churches, that there are those that write and call and tell us they're praying for us. And so we do thank you for listening in. We're just a couple of weeks away from the May 8th primary for the state of North Carolina, and this has been the only subject that we have dealt with for, I guess, over a month now. North Carolina has a constitutional amendment for marriage on the ballot, and the reason that this is the only thing that I've dealt with in the past month is because of the seriousness of the subject we're talking about. And this is a, in my estimation, a fight for the very soul and future of North Carolina. And so this is what we've been dealing with. And we're going to go over that ballot one more time. We've done this several times in the past few weeks. But before we get into the substance of the radio broadcast today, I want to take just a minute and make an announcement concerning the Old Paths Revival, second annual Old Paths Revival. This is going to take place at Willow Valley Baptist Church. That's located in Vilas up Phillips Branch Road. This is going to be April the 29th through May the 4th, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Brother Leonard Fletcher is going to be there. He's going to be the evening visiting evangelist. Brother Leonard is, as many of you know, the pastor of the Dyson Grove Baptist Church. So Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. This coming Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Reverend Carl Wilson is going to be at Willow Valley Baptist Church preaching. And then Sunday night at 6 p.m., Brother Eric Cornett is going to be there preaching. And the fifth Sunday night is usually the fellowship meeting. There are several churches that meet together on fifth Sunday nights, so fifth Sunday night fellowship meeting will be over there, and Brother Eric Cornett's going to be the visiting preacher on that evening. And then they have morning services Monday through Friday morning at 9:45 a.m. and they're going to have visiting preachers every morning Monday through Friday. So you're invited to come out. Brother Ray Green is the pastor there, and I'm sure if you have any questions, Brother Ray wouldn't mind if you called or talked to somebody in the church at Willow Valley Baptist Church. And so we're looking forward to being down there and fellowshipping with the good people, and we appreciate Brother Ray. And so we're going to get right into the broadcast today. We're talking once again about the marriage amendment, and of course early voting has already started for this. And my family, we went and voted yesterday, April the 23rd. Now, that was significant for me because that was my daughter, Chloe, her birthday. She turned 4 years old. And so we were out celebrating and went out to eat and spend some family time together. And it was still during the middle of the day. And I said, well, we're in here. Let's go by and vote while we're together, my wife and I. And I told my daughter, I said, we're doing this for you and for all of the children in North Carolina voting for this marriage amendment. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about it in this respect before, but last week I was outside and she was with me, my daughter. Of course, as I've said, she was three. She just turned 4 years old. And we have a marriage amendment sign in our yard that says May 8th. Vote for marriage, one man, one woman. And I was I'd been mowing, and so I was moving the sign, and she asked me, She said, "What are those signs for?" And I thought to myself how pitiful it is that I have to try to explain to a child what the issue is, and how that in America and in the state of North Carolina there's a battle concerning what marriage is. If you'd asked me growing up when I was 3 years old, 4 years old, it had never been entertained that there'd come a day in our state where we would have to bolster the institution of marriage by strengthening the language in our Constitution of what that means, because there's an element of society that wants to change marriage from what it is to something that it is not and never can be. And so this is a very important subject that we're talking about. And I encourage you to go out and vote for the marriage amendment. Now, I want to read. I have a sample ballot. There is still a lot of confusion concerning for or against. If you are for traditional marriage, then you will want to be for this constitutional amendment. I voted already, early voting, and it says on the ballot, constitutional amendment, and it says this underneath it, constitutional amendment to provide that marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state. And I voted for, as a Christian, as a Bible believer. I am for this as a pro-family individual. I'm for this. I voted for this. And there's still people come up to me and say, this is confusing. But look at it like this. I heard it explained this way. If your boss came to you and said he wanted to give you a raise, wouldn't you be for that? And so just remember, as a Christian, as a Bible believer, I want to be for this. As a moral individual, I want to be for this. And so we've been promoting that for several weeks now. If you are for traditional, biblical, honorable marriage between one man and one woman, you want to be for this constitutional amendment. It is a good thing. I know there's a lot of arguments out there. There's a lot of talk out there. There's a lot of people that are coming out and saying they're against it, but I'm for it. The Bible is for it, and I want to talk a little bit about that today. I was reading yesterday in Proverbs chapter 23 in verse number 10. There's a proverb over there. There's a verse in the Bible that just simply says this in the first part of that verse. It says, "Remove not the old landmark." Then if you go back into chapter number 22 and verse number 28, it says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." And I know there's been a lot of preaching on the landmark, the ancient landmark, the old landmark through the years. But for some of you that may not be familiar with what the Bible is talking about there, when it says, "Remove not the old landmark," it's referring to when God gave the land to the children of Israel and to the individual families and the families within those families, and they were to keep a landmark. They were to keep a boundary line. They were to keep a property line so that they would know where their property began and the other neighbor's property line began and theirs ended at. That's what a landmark is. It's a property line. It is a boundary line, and property lines are very important, even in society today. In fact, there's a whole section of the courthouse, probably in every county and in every state in the United States of America, that is dedicated solely to keeping up with deeds, sale of property, transfer of property, surveys of property. All these things are important. Boundary lines are of utmost importance in our society. Can you imagine the mess that would be if everybody's property was according to memory or word of mouth? Somebody would say, "Well, my line goes over to that oak tree." And the neighbor would say, "No, that's not where the line is. It goes on down to that fence row over there. That's where Grandpa told me that it was before I got it." You talk about a mess. We'd have a mess in our county. You talk about lawsuits and continual arguing over these things. Boundary lines are important. God told Israel, the children of Israel, he said, "Remove not the old landmark." That fence posts, that stack of rocks over there, that's important. Don't take that out of the way. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And so God told Israel not to remove the ancient landmarks. Spiritually, God has given us some landmarks. We could say the Ten Commandments are an ancient landmark given to us by God for the good of society. We could say the Bible is an ancient landmark. We could say the church is an ancient landmark. And so many things we could go down through and talk about that God has given us that we shouldn't remove. If we remove these things, it's going to be to our detriment. But I believe without doubt we could say that the very first landmark that God gave to the human family is the landmark of the family. God gave the landmark of Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden there. The first institution that we ever read about in the Bible, it's not human government, it's not the church, but it's the family. God gave the family. And so family is a foundation. Family is the cornerstone to all society. And if you wonder how God thinks about this thing, you don't have to go very far in the Bible. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 and 28, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now, I've heard people on the other side of this argument saying, we're made in the image of God. People shouldn't be discriminated against. And I talked about that word discrimination last week. And that word discrimination means to judge or make a difference, to decide between a right and a wrong. And people say, well, this is discrimination. But you know what? God discriminated in the beginning. God made a difference. God recognized a difference in the very beginning. And yes, we are made in the image of God. But you know what? They stop right there. They don't go on what that verse says. It says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so what God was talking about there is the man and the woman. And so if you still don't understand how the Lord feels about it, look over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24. The Bible said, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There's the biblical definition of what marriage is all about. And this is a landmark for the human family upon the earth, that marriage would be between a man and a woman, and a man would leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a cornerstone to good society. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 in verses 6 and 9, when he was talking, someone had asked him about marriage, and he said, but from the beginning of the creation of God, or from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so this is what the Word of God says about this. This is a foundation, a cornerstone in our society. Now, if this amendment is not put into our state constitution by a majority 4 vote, and that's what it will take to put this in, that's why every person's vote is of utmost importance, just a simple majority. If the majority does not vote for this, then what we will see in North Carolina is an immediate attempt to tear down the old landmark of marriage between men and women. Now, there is right now, and there has been since 1996, a law in North Carolina that says that marriage between individuals of the same sex is not valid in North Carolina. That is the law right now in North Carolina. And so I've heard people that are against this amendment say, what do we need an amendment for? It's already against the law. Here is why we need to put this into our Constitution, because there is already right now a lawsuit working its way through the courts to challenge and overturn that law that has been since 1996. And this has happened in other states already. Legislators, courts have decided for the whole state, for everybody in the state, they have overturned. That's how this became law in the state of New York last year. The legislators did this. The people had no choice. This is how this became law in Massachusetts. The courts decided, and Mitt Romney took it upon himself. Now, he's the one that did this. I did some study into this. It's very interesting. Mitt Romney. The court said that this needs to be taken up by the legislature. Well, the legislature didn't do anything with it. The courts didn't do anything else with it. And if nobody had made a move on this, marriage would still be like it was in the state of Massachusetts. But Mitt Romney went and took it upon himself. He's the one that had the marriage licenses changed in Massachusetts from husband and wife to party A and party B. And he told the magistrates in the state of Massachusetts that if they did not perform these marriages, these same-sex unions, then they would be fired. Mitt Romney is the one that did that. And so we don't want legislatures. We don't want the court system to decide. This is something that the people need to act upon right now. And what this amendment will do for families in North Carolina will be to drive the stakes of marriage even deeper and make it harder for the opponents to destroy the old landmark or the ancient landmark of marriage. And let me say that that is the end result if this does not pass. And marriage in North Carolina is overturned through the court system or by the legislatures. What that will do, that will end marriage as we know it in North Carolina. When same-sex non-marriage, that's what I call it because it's not marriage, but when same-sex marriage becomes law, it makes traditional marriage between a man and a woman null and void in the eyes of the law, and it replaces it with a new, different, man-made institution. It's no longer husband and wife. It's not that this is going to, and people need to understand this. This is not something that would just come alongside traditional marriage between a man and a woman. This would change marriage altogether in the state of North Carolina from between a husband and a wife to between a party A and a party B. Now, I've heard a lot of people. I read a little newspaper article a while back and maybe a letter to the editor, and I've heard more than one people say this. Somebody says, well, my wife and I have been married for 45 years and same-sex marriage does not harm us. They don't see the harm in it. Well, we've been married for 45 years and it doesn't affect our marriage. You know what? I got to thinking about that and really studying about that type of an attitude. And that's one of the most selfish, senseless, stupid things I've ever heard come out of anybody's mouth. Well, we've been married for 45 years and it doesn't bother us. Why should we care if two men or two women go out here and get married if they really so-and-so love each other and all of these things? You know what I would say to the person that uses that argument? I would say, you know, if I had been your neighbor for 45 years and I wanted to go around our property lines and remove all the boundaries, burn all the surveys, take down the oak tree and take down the fence line and get our surveys and just burn them in the fireplace. And I would say to you, you know, well, this wouldn't hurt anything because you and I know where the boundaries are. And, you know, it would clean up the landscape and we'd take down all these things, just make it a lot neater and look nicer around our property and everything. And wouldn't it be all right to do that? Because after all, we know where the boundaries are. You know what you would say as the other neighbor? You wouldn't want to do that. if you had any sense at all, you wouldn't want to take down the boundary lines and burn up the surveys, because you would say, you know, I might want to sell this piece of property. I want to pass this along to my children and my grandchildren. And although we know where the boundaries are, they wouldn't know where the boundaries are. You know, if we take this attitude that it doesn't bother me, it doesn't affect me and my marriage, why don't we take that attitude with other issues? Why don't we say about, you know, when 9/11 took place, well, none of my family was killed. Nobody, I don't know any Muslim terrorist or anything like this, and that didn't affect my family. Just let them go on. Why do we have to retaliate? Why do we have to do anything about that? What about drinking and driving? I've never had anybody in my family run over and killed by a drunk driver. Why should that bother me? Doesn't bother me. See, we don't take that attitude towards anything else, that it doesn't bother me. What about, have you noticed in the newspaper and on the news in the past year or two or three years how many teachers in schools are having relationships with their students? I'm telling you, it's an outbreak. It's every other week. It's all the time right here, even in the state of North Carolina. Some teacher will have a relationship with a student. Well, hey, I homeschool. That doesn't bother me. Why should we do it? If that's what they want to do, why should I care? See, that doesn't make sense. We don't operate in society like that, because we know that sooner or later what goes on in society is bound to affect us as well. If you read after our founders, George Washington specifically, he referred to many, many times in his writings and in his speeches, they talked about the unborn millions yet to come. The unborn millions yet to come. The preamble to the Constitution says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Do you know it talks about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity? That's our children and our children's children and our great-great-grandchildren and all the way down the line. I would like for my children to grow up in a North Carolina, in an America that is more like the America that I grew up in and my parents grew up in and my grandparents grew up in, than I would for them to grow up in a society that resembles a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah, which is where we're headed with this same sex union stuff. This, there is a homosexual agenda. And if you don't recognize that and realize that, just look at what has happened in the past 20, 25 years in America. There is an agenda to put this before the American people and to change our society from what it was to something totally different, not just on this one subject, but in our government, in our institutions. There's many things, and of course we've dealt with these things before. And so somebody comes along and they say, well, what about my rights? What about my civil liberties? What about freedom and justice for all? You know, if liberties are infringed upon, there is a constitutional remedy for that. Maybe you're not aware of this, but the North Carolina Constitution, Article 1, Section number 21, says this about your liberties being infringed upon. It's called Inquiry into Restraints on Liberty. And it says, every person restrained of his liberty is entitled to a remedy to inquire into the lawfulness thereof, and to remove the restraint if unlawful, and that remedy shall not be denied or delayed. So there is a constitutional remedy for your liberties being restrained or infringed upon. Now, this option is never used because the homosexual agenda, the homosexual movement, cannot prove that there is any attempt being made to restrain any plainly written rights. There's no attempt to remove anybody's rights that they have. And that's why that this argument that, well, what about my rights? What about my liberty and all of these things? Let me say again, this is not about personal rights. But this that we are seeing going on in North Carolina is about the homosexual agenda being thrust into the mainstream of society and changing our society, making our society condone something that has historically for hundreds of years been condemned and even once upon a time being considered a crime. Well, it's no longer on the books as a crime as far as I know, but when somebody makes a personal moral choice to go down the road of the homosexual lifestyle, the rest of us, our liberties and rights should not be infringed upon by making us condone and accept their lifestyle. We shouldn't have to change all of society because they're those that want to change all of society. Well, my time is quickly going away today, but I want to say just a few things in closing, and that is that the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. We need to be very careful. This is going to have an effect upon the state of North Carolina for years and years and years to come. And it'll either be a good effect or it will be a bad effect. And so I say, pray about it. Read the Bible. See what the Word of God says. And then go and do what you know you ought to do. And I want to say that the most important thing that any Christian person can do concerning this is pray. Prayer moves the hand that moves the universe. And so I would say that Christians everywhere, we need to pray about this. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. And so if you think America is important, then you ought to pray. You ought to be much in prayer for our nation and the direction that we're heading in. And I have been encouraged. Now, I'm not encouraged when I look at the newspaper, but I'm encouraged when I look into the Word of God and I see that in the darkest of times, God has sent revival among His people. And so we're not putting this upon everybody that's out there today, but the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And so we need to humble ourselves and we need to pray. How much time have you spent in the past month praying for our nation, praying for our churches, praying for your preacher, praying for your pastor, praying that the Lord would move in our midst? If this is important to us, then we ought to be praying that God would have mercy upon us, that God would help us in our nation and in our state. And so we need to pray. That's the number one most important thing you can do. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. 1 Timothy 2:1-8. So number one, pray. And number two, tell somebody else about this. Get the word out. Encourage people to go out and vote. The only states that this has been defeated in, now in every state it's been put forward in, it has passed, but it has not passed the first time. And the reasons that it's not passed the first time is just because Christian people were lazy concerning getting out and voting and talking about this, and so it didn't pass. So make it count. Go vote. Tell somebody else about it. Noah's going to give the contact information. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can contact us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.